And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going, so.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are in there. We're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
All right, you're very welcome along to the GAAR Hurling Show. What a weekend of hurling that's ahead of us. We've obviously got two games instead of one. Brilliant replay on Saturday. Brilliant semi-final, especially after last year's classic on Sunday. With me today are Mikey in studio and Conal Keeney in studio as well. And Damien Hayes joins us on the line. How's it going, lads?
How are you, Willie?
Hey, lads.
Kilkenny in replays. I'm looking at some stats here. Conal, you're the only team under Cody that has actually managed to beat them in the second game. How the hell did you do it?
Yeah, I think just thinking back, when it obviously went to a replay, I was thinking back on when we drew with them and we had 7 days of a turnaround and what we did. And I remember the feeling straight away after, it was like the Waterford was like, oh, we blew it. Like, you're never going to get another chance. Everyone's going to write us off. And we came straight into the dressing room and Daly was hopping off the ground. He was like, we can't believe that they're getting another chance to play us. They are privileged. And we were like, what is this lad talking about? So he drummed it into us like that. We've had great another day out to play the best so-called hurlers in the country and beat them. You know, and we were just thinking, Jesus, that's another way of looking at it, you know. And everybody came out of the dressing room thinking, yeah, it's great, let's go and absolutely tear them apart the next day. You know, they were lucky to get a draw out of us today, so the next day is going to be huge.
So he got in psychologically very early doors at you?
Yeah, straight away. I remember him coming in the dressing room and he was jumping around and wasn't the fact, he was celebrating. He was so happy that we have another day out and we have another chance to show the country how good we were. And basically how lucky Kilkenny were to get another chance to crack at us, and the next day we're going to kill them off fully.
That's an incredible bit of management, because obviously TJ Reid scored a late point and equalising point there, so he probably would have been coming in feeling relatively low, like, you know, you were the team that were caught as opposed to the team who earned a draw. So for Daly to manage actually in that time to get you coming out thinking, great, another game against Kilkenny, instead of, oh no, we blew it.
Yeah, well, that's the way he thought all the time, you know. Even going into the game, you know, he thought that we were going to beat them, and he drummed into us that, look, it's not a Kilkenny, it's about getting to a Leinster final, winning a Leinster final and moving on. Although after we all deep down were thinking, like, if we can stay in the game here for, you know, for 50, 60 minutes, you know, we might have a chance. But coming in, I remember after the game, he was so delighted that they have another chance. And the fact that he put a total spin on it, saying that these lads are lucky to be playing us again, you know, kind of gave us a lot of confidence. And was like, well, if he really believes it, and the whole management were so delighted that, you know, we had another day out, but also they were so lucky to play us. And we were so assured that we were going to kill off this Kilkenny team and we were going to end a lot of those lads' careers the next day. And I don't know if we ended their careers, but we certainly ended their run.
Their careers for that year, actually, didn't he? That was any good to you. What about you, Damien? You drew with them in 2012, wasn't it? And, you know, it didn't go too well for you in the replay.
We had a completely different scenario. In 2012, we drew with them. We should have won that All-Ireland. There's no doubt about it. We blew it just before half-time and we blew it just after half-time. So we did. But the big difference, I suppose, was that there was a three-week gap to the next replay. And I suppose the difference in Conal with Dublin and the difference between, let's say, Kilkenny and Waterford next weekend, it's a six-day turnaround next weekend where Conal had 7 days and we had 3 weeks. And it all comes down to management, and it all comes down to psychological, and it all comes down to what's between the 2 years, and to get lads focused and get lads to believe, you know. And I've gone on record saying this: when we drew the All-Ireland in 2012, we possibly trained too hard coming back up to the All-Ireland. That's my opinion, that's my belief. So it is. And where Kilkenny at the time, seeing me, they sat down, they looked at their stall, they meetings with players to see what they to get better, and they motivated the players better. And I think, plus, as I said to you before, you're playing Kilkenny, it all comes down to whether you feel the belief of beating Kilkenny in a replay. And unfortunately it didn't work out for us, but the difference, I think, maybe in Dublin and Galway that time was that it was only a 7 day turnaround, and there's not much you can do in the 6 to 7 days. Only get lads focused, keep them sharp, keep them, but the big thing is to make sure that you have a real good management team in place that is getting the players right and getting them motivated and having them praising the absolute backside out, and we're putting another massive performance and shift against Kilkenny.
Yeah, I remember distinctly, as Damien says, totally agree. It's all about the management. And I remember his Daly's mantra all that week is, like, less is more. You know, you always feel you have to go out doing a little bit more.
Yeah.
You have to do a little bit more to make sure you're right. But he kept saying, look, less is more. The less we do, the better. All we need to do is recover and make sure we perform on
the election. Freshness.
I did think back then, they're still thinking, 3 weeks for a replay is ridiculous. It's so long. Damien, you lived through it. It's just... It seems like an impossible situation because you have to train and then you're overthinking what you did the last day and you're probably going against your natural instincts. And it just seems like 6 days, maybe some would say, is a bit short, but I'd rather be a 6 day turnaround than 21 days without a shadow of a doubt.
Well, that's it. When you get to a final or the business end of season, you kind of love to know if you're in it or you're not in it. And this whole hanging around and wondering how the game is going to go, and if you're training, and a couple of lads are getting injuries, and you just prefer to just get on with it. And just for the Waterford players and the Kilkenny players, they're in an ideal situation 6 days later. There's very little training done, just limbering up, getting recovery into the body, and then it's all about psychological and belief. That's where it's at the moment for Kilkenny and Waterford.
Yeah, and Cody's record, obviously, in replays is played five, only lost one. That was obviously to Conal. He pulled a few rabbits out of the hat against G. Damien in 2012. He brought in Walter Walsh. Obviously, we know the rest is history. That must have came completely out of left field for you. But he moved Richie Hogan as well, and Killian Buckley was brought back in. So, you know, Cody's record in replays where he learns from the first game and jiggles things around is important as well.
Well, it's very important, but often people praise Brian Cody to no end, and he deserves that praise. But you have to remember, he's an unbelievable backroom team with him there as well, and all the lads there with him are you know, Dempsey, all the boys there, Ling, they're all brilliant hurling people. So I reckon they sit down and they have unbelievable hurling chat, and you know, but they pull walls for walls, carries out of the bags against those sides. And he was on the game, man, the match performance in All-Ireland final, and he bagged a couple of goals and caused Johnny Cohen huge problems, so he did on the day with his physical strength and height. But he's pulled rabbits out of the bag, all right, and there's rumours up here and that he might be pulling a couple of, you know, has looked at a couple of players on the intermediate squad, but I don't think there's an awful amount of rabbits he can pull out of the hat this time. We all pretty know his squad, and it's whatever way he's going to alter his players and position them is vital. But I personally think that Kilkenny will win next Saturday evening.
Yeah, another rabbit, Conal, was in 2014 where he brought in Kieran Joyce into Mark Bonner Maher. Joyce hadn't featured at all the whole year. So, like, this is clearly something that Cody, like, there's a bit of evidence to say that this is something that he's trying to do.
Yeah, I think he does learn from every game that he plays, and he always tries to play the best team that he sees available. But I really don't feel that he has a huge array of rabbits, if you want to bring one out now this time.
Talking a lot about rabbits here, aren't we?
I don't think this squad is really as strong as it has been in the last number of years, you know. And what he might bring on, a surprise might be someone like Owen Larkin, which isn't really a surprise to start the next day. So I think he's probably going to go pretty much what we know, although he will give lads, I'd say, maybe another chance to try and perform. Some lads didn't really step up to the plate as they usually do, so he's going to trust them and give them one more crack at it, I think.
I asked him straight out after the drawn game last Sunday, you know, I pointed, you only brought on two subs in a game that you were trailing for nearly all of it, you know, if you wanted to make a few more changes, if you'd had full faith in your squad, are you happy with your squad? He said, absolutely, yeah.
He's not going to say anything else.
Of course he's not, but I'm just saying, again, it's hard to take him. It's hard to believe him because, you made four changes in the drawn game against yourselves, I think, and five changes in the replay.
Yeah.
You know, so when he's a man who, as we were saying, he likes to make a change when he has to, he's confident doing it, but he's just not confident in what he has on the bench anymore, I don't think.
I don't think that they have that strength and depth that they did. Now, obviously, the Leinster final they had, but that's because Richie Hogan was injured and the subs that they made a difference, power as well. But like, bringing on two subs in a game like that, it would only point to the lack of options, really, wouldn't it?
Especially the work rate that they need to get through every player. And if you look at Waterford, they were absolutely everywhere, hunting in packs all over the field. And, you know, they're not afraid to make the changes. And I think maybe you're right to a degree that he probably has limited enough for Kilkenny's, you know, to look at the bench, maybe to drink three or four, maybe max. That's really what he feels, I suppose, he could bring on. And I don't see many changes really before the replay, which is going to be strange, but I'm sure maybe Owen Larkin will probably feature, I'd say, a little bit more than he did.
That rabbit he pulls out is going to be some shock now.
Owen Larkin is a rabbit. Owen Larkin is a rabbit. A very obvious rabbit. All right, lads, we'll leave it there for now because we have Dan Shanahan on the line, Waterford selector and Waterford legend. Dan, how's the week gone for you?
Yeah, good colours, to be honest. We're disappointed, obviously, we didn't win last Sunday. But it's great to be still involved in the championship. Like, you know, in my speech that Friday, I said to the boys, I'd love to be here next Tuesday again, training for the Ireland final. But no, we're still in the semi-final, like, you know, and training was outstanding last night. Like, you know, the boys were sharp last night. We didn't do much column, to be honest, with a couple of days rested they had in recovery. But they were sharp in what they did last night.
Yeah, what's been your routine? You know, have you been doing pool sessions, you know, stretching sessions? How do you go about it in the week leading up to a replay like this?
Yeah, Colum, to be honest with you, the boys had usually Monday off anyway, like, you know, whether they were celebrating or commiserating, so they were. But it was they went to the beach and stayed on. That was half the lads in the east went to Dunmore and the lads in the west went to Clonay, like, you know, did recovery and had something decent to eat after recovery, and they did it again Tuesday themselves, and were back collectively on Wednesday, like, you know.
Yeah, and has the mood been good, Dan? Because it's a real weird one psychologically in the week after. Like, I mean, going into it, a draw would have been a great result for you, but coming out of it the way the draw came about, you might have felt a little bit down. How has it been a weird kind of atmosphere? Or
yeah, it's been weird enough, Colin, to be honest with you. Like, you know, no one gave us a chance going into last Sunday's game, Colin, if I'm being honest with you. Like, you know, maybe into next Saturday's game, one or two people be giving us a chance after the way we played last Sunday. But you must credit Kilkenny to, Colin, the way they came out and... like, we were on top for 65 minutes, didn't put them away, and they still came away and got a draw. Like, you know, we were probably lucky to get the draw if Paul Murphy had scored that late point. I think it would have been injustice. But look, we're there to fight another day. We're there Saturday again. We know what to expect after Kilkenny. They're going to come out all going blazing next Saturday, like they always do. But we're going to meet him head on, please, guys.
Yeah, I was reading some quotes from you saying, let's be honest, no one gave us a chance the last day. And, you know, you probably played on that fact to motivate yourselves. You don't really have that this week.
Yeah, you're probably right, Colm, if I've been honest with you. Like, you know, we did play on that fact, but I still think if you're going by the bookies, they still don't give us a chance if I've been honest with you. Like, you know, so 4-7, 7-2, and I wouldn't be a betting man, to be honest with you. But, like, you know, we're still not given any chance going into next Saturday evening's game. But Brian Cody's no fool. Like, you know, he won't have his lads believing that. Like, you know, but again... like, you know, they're going to come over all guns blazing. We know what they're like in replays. They haven't been beaten in any replay since Dublin beat them, I think, in the last one. But again, it was the first time for everything in every couple of years. Like, you know, so hopefully next Saturday that the lads will come out and believe that they can do it again and match Kilkenny step for step, work harder, who can chase every ball like they did last Sunday. You never know, we might get the rubber green this Sunday, this Saturday, sorry.
Yeah, Brian Cody said he wasn't surprised at your tactics last week. I don't believe him when he says that because, you know, you'd never played that orthodox before. You know, is that element of surprise gone now?
Well, that's been something we have discussed with the management. Like, you know, we'll continue to be expecting the same thing, or we'll come up with something new. We haven't decided yet, to be honest with Colum.
Yeah.
So it's something that we'll look into for Saturday, like whether we stick with the same routine or whether we go 7 or 8 at the back there to see if we just hold Kilkenny out, because they're going to all come blazing over the first 10 minutes of each half, like they always do. And that's when they win most of their games, especially in the first 10 minutes of the second half, like, you know. But again, next Saturday's game is different to last Sunday's. Like, you know, it's as good as we played last Sunday, Cullum, to not finish the job next Saturday would be disappointing to last Sunday's performance, if you know what I'm saying to you.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about Morris, Dan. How difficult was the decision? You know, it was a surprise for most people to see that he wasn't starting the last day. How difficult a decision was that for you?
Yeah, you're probably the first fella to ask me that. Cullum, like, you know, and there's a lot of people out there, so-called experts out there, but it was tough, to be honest with you. It was extremely tough, Colin, and you know, to tell your brother that you're dropped off the panel or you're dropped off the team.
Yeah,
it is tough. It won't tell you. There's no point in papering over like that. It is extremely tough, considering that he done well in the previous games. Like, you know, he wasn't 120% firing, but a lot of lads hadn't fired up to last week's game. Like, you know, so it was hard. I won't tell you. But again, it's not about me or Morris or anyone else. It's about Waterford and the player that he's trained with. Like, you know, and he dealt with it, put it brilliantly, to be honest with you, Cullum. He took it on the chin, so he did. And he came out training during the week, and he was fantastic, to be honest with you, absolutely fantastic. And that's the way we're brought up, Cullum, if I'm being honest with you. Like, you know, it's not about me or Morris or whoever gets dropped, or Paddy Corn was the same way. He took it on the chin too, went back to training. It was all about getting the performance in for the boys he trained with all year and trying to get Waterford to win.
Yeah, because I was reading a piece you did with Keith Duggan in the Irish Times, and you were saying that Morris being involved was a reservation you had about even getting involved as a selector. So, you know, that decision must have been difficult.
Yeah, it was. Jeez, it was. Like, you know, and, you know, it's not because it was Morris, but he's an all-star holder for him as well. Like, you know, you know what I mean? If I'm being 100% honest here, he's one of the top forwards in the country. Like, you know, and to have him not playing on the 4-6 and on the Waterford team, it's not an issue. And, well, I mean, it's just... it was just that the way it came that we went with something different, and Morris had suffered in the end.
Yeah, you mentioned about his attitude there in training, and it seemed to me like his attitude was spot on when he came on, and he was really, really good when he came on. Is that the difference between this Waterford team and maybe Waterford teams you played on? Like, the talent was always there, but maybe that attitude where it's all about the team rather than maybe about individuals, is that fair to say?
That's very fair to say, Colin, to be honest with you. Like, you know, as good as a team that I was on, like, you know, we were absolutely fantastic individuals, like, you know, and rarely did we put it together for a team. Now, we did once or twice, Colin, to be honest with you, like, you know, and 0-4 must have finally sticks out, and so it does. And again, the first round of the championship in 0-4, I think, again against Clare, so the one day I sticks in my mind that we always kicked together, we baked a very good Clare team, we hammered them out to Gator above in Turles in the first round of the championship, like, you know, but again, these lads are different, Colin. It's all about team, Colin. And even when I was playing, Colin, when I wasn't getting the game under different management, I always thought of the team, like, you know, it was never about me or anyone else. It's all about the team that I was on, like, you know, a team I was involved with. Like, what could I do to make this team better? Whether I was starting, not getting the game, or anything like that. Like, you know, I always thought of the lads that I trained with through thick and thin, like, you know.
Yeah, really. Is that difficult? Because I can only speak from my experience. Whenever I was a sub, I had a face on me.
Yeah, I won't tell you, Colin. I won't. It was difficult as a player, knowing that I had all the work done. Like, you know, that I thought I was going well in training and stuff like that, and not to be given the chance. It's a bit sickening, but look, you just have to get on with it, like, you know, and there's other lads in the same boat as I am as well, like, you know, just because it's me, but there's other lads not getting the game and stuff like that, and they have to take it as well. So I learned the hard way sometimes, coming in the early 0-0s. I wasn't getting the game that what it takes, and I'd like to think I brought that experience with me into that current setup, and when I can give the lads excuses why they're not playing, or give them a bit of advice on different things, knowing that I've been through it all, like, you know.
Yeah, no, you definitely have been. And has it been difficult to kind of get that message across to these young lads, or have they just been coming up through successful underage teams, you know, and they kind of have that attitude, that, you know, good attitude already?
They have fantastic attitude, Colin. I won't tell you, boy, they're a great bunch of lads. As I said numerous times, it's fantastic to go train with these lads, because all they want to do is win, Colin. They want to train hard, no matter what they're doing, wet, dry, hard, physically, mentally, anything they want to do to improve them, they want to do it, like, you know. And that's the one thing as a manager we brought to this setup, like, you know, we brought professionalism to it, as in there's nothing they want for, like, you know, everything they have is at a fingertip. And do you know what I mean? So back in the day when I was playing this, and when we were playing, you wouldn't get that, like, you know. Now they have everything. So they have, like, you know, as in dietitians, etc., like, you know, gym programs, physio, good charter physios, all that kind of stuff, doctors at training sessions, they all have that now, Colin, like, you know, and they have everything there. But I have to say they deserve it, because they do put in some effort.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. You're playing the replay in Turles. You must have been rubbing your hands together when you heard that news.
I was, Colin, to be honest with you. I was just disappointed it's on a 6:45, because it is nice, because a lot of people that wouldn't have gone to Croke Park wouldn't go to Turles, like, you know. And by all accounts, tickets are going extremely well down here in Waterford, so they are, like, you know. So we're expecting a bump crowd next Saturday, like, you know. But to promote the game, I suppose, it would have been lovely to be on Croke Park, and as a double header with Tip and Galway next week. But I can see why, with the ticket allocation that happened, I mean, delivered to Tip and Galway already, that Waterford and Kilkenny would have got the bad tickets, and that's fair enough too, like, you know. But again, I'm just disappointed with the timing of the game. You could be playing next Saturday evening under lights, Colin, like, you know, and I don't think that's fair on players, like, you know, at this time of the year to be playing under lights above in Turles.
And did they give you an explanation for that then?
Sorry?
Did the GA give you an explanation for
that? No, I don't think so, Colin. All as far as I know, that there's two Camogie games on before it, and that's the only explanation I got, like, you know, 6:45, and I think I read Babs Keaton Monday, he said the sun sets very low and at that time of the evening, like, you know, so sun could be a factor next weekend as well, like, you know. But, like, you know, to be playing under lights this time of the year is a possibility, Colin. Like, you know, it's 6:45, 7:45. Look at it last night. It's fairly dark at 7:45 last night, like, you know, and that'd be mean to be 15 or 20 minutes left with lights on, like, you know.
Yeah, that might be something that you need to have a chat with, you know, with the players, make them aware of the fact that this might happen.
definitely call him. You know, we'll try and tick every box that we can, like, you know, and it's just something in my head thinking that the Knights might go on there at half time next Saturday evening, like, you know.
Yeah, but there's a lot of analysis goes into Roy Keane's beard. When he has a long beard, he's in a bad mood. When he has the beard cut, he's back being in a good mood. Should we read into whether you turn your hat backwards or put it forwards, or what goes on with the hat?
No way, Cullum, man. That's just the thing, like, you know, to be honest, Cullum, you just I wore a hat last year to peak forward, and this year it's just different hats that I have, like, you know, from just one of my own ones, to be honest with you. I didn't get any from the sponsor that we have, like, you know, so I just wear my own, and I just wear it backwards for comfort, like, you know.
Yeah,
to be honest, Cullum,
helps the
I
view.
I don't want to be getting me hair going out in the fucking field. I just want to be getting me hair, wetting me hair, going out in the field, trying to look well on it. That's not me.
Yeah, okay, that would be the last thing you would want to do.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
Dan, thanks very much for taking the call.
Cullum, thanks very much as always. Anytime, boy.
Yeah, Dan Shanahan there, lads, and you know, I can't believe nobody asked him about his brother. You know, he's an all-star that was dropped off the team and came on and showed incredible attitude, you know, and Dan's very honest there in saying that it was a horrible decision that he had to make, dropping his own brother.
Yeah, very tough. I certainly wouldn't like to be doing that to another family member or even someone close, and especially part of a county setup, it's even more difficult. And, you know, obviously one of the best games that Waterford produced, but I think it shows the measure of where the team are really at, that, you know, that he can come on and do so well. You know, so many times if you're told you're not playing, you're like, well, you know, this is ridiculous, how am I not playing? And then you're kind of in a huff, and it takes you a couple of days to come out of it. But look, it just shows that the squad is the most important thing. I think that's the GA is nearly moving to that. You know, it's not about nearly the start in 15. It's, you know, you'd nearly put on your best team in the last 10 or 15 minutes, you know, that are the so-called strongest players. But look, it's moving on, and I think, you know, fair play to Dan for doing it if he actually did do it. Yeah,
and Damien, it's the culture that, like, the way Dan's talking about that in times when he played, lads might have had faces, but that's not the culture in this young Waterford team now, that an all-star can be dropped who has a brother on the management committee and not have a face on him and come on and actually affect the game in a real positive manner.
When Morris came on the last game, he got a great score, and he also offloaded the ball there to Austin Gleeson, where he scored a good score, and he worked hard as well, and that's all he can ask for. But, like, it's been a difficult season for Morris, as we spoke before in Lint. He's been left inside in the full forward line, and he's isolated. He's literally inside in Ethiopia, where he's starving for ball, you know. And basically the difference between Morris this year and Morris last year was Morris was taking the frees last year, and Paul Mahoney has now been handed over the free-taking duties, which is absolutely exceptional at, right? But Morris, even though he wasn't getting onto as much ball as well last year, he was still tipping in with his 10, 11, 12 pints and frees, and he's keeping himself in the game, and he's also, you know, getting himself on the ball, we'll say, every now and again. But this time, it's the last couple of games, he's struggled to get onto the ball, he still scored 2 points from places against Wexford, but it still wasn't good enough, you know. And the lads had to make a decision. They just made a decision for the good of the team. They opted to go with, we'll say, what I consider faster forwards in the inside line to try trouble the Kilkenny full back line. And Morris was asked to play what they call an impact role. And, like, yeah, it was great to see his attitude was good, but, like, that's what you expect. I'm sorry, you're representing your county. I would expect the same as with any other player, whether his brother was on the management team or not. But it was great to see him come in and make a bit of an impact. But, like, he's representing his county and he's representing his jersey, so I'd expect that from every player.
Yeah, he must have been fuming, though, because he's in starved of possession, like you say, all year. Yeah. And the one bloody day to go Orthodox, he gets in Croke Park, he gets put under the bench.
And he's probably he could be the one player that's probably maybe in Dan's ear saying, "Do you ever go 15-on-15 and pick the ball in?" And the one day that happened, he's on the bench. So I suppose in that respect, Woody, you're probably right. That probably is a difficult one to take. You know, where there was lots of ball going into the full forward line, and today it is going in. He's not in there. So, but as we just said, fair play to him. He came in and he made an impact, got an unbelievable score, a real crowd pleaser, and then he offloaded a nice pass to Austin Gleeson. So he probably gets pretty much the same role again next Saturday night.
I don't know, Colin Dunford. You know, Derek McGrath admitted as much. Colin Dunford didn't have his best day. Does Derek McGrath keep faith with Colin Dunford, or does he bring in Morris?
I think Morris has to start. Does he?
Well, if they're going with the tactics again, you know,
Morris isn't slow.
No, he's not. Know? He's not particularly slow. No, it would certainly suit him. You know, the more ball he gets, the more dangerous he is. You know, once he gets the ball in hand, it's very, very hard to stop
Absolutely,
him.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, I think it would be suited to maybe someone like, you know, a Holden or whoever, who wouldn't be maybe as physically strong as Shanahan is. But look, I'm sure Derek's going to pull something out again.
Yeah, another rabbit maybe.
Yeah.
Colin, I want to ask you this because you weren't here on Monday. Cody said after the match that he wasn't surprised at the Waterford tactics. Now, I can't believe that because, like, I mean, they've never played like that under Derek McGrath. So, like, you know, is he just kind of saving face there, or did you see evidence that Kilkenny were, like, shocked by the way, the orthodox way that Waterford set up?
I think when I was watching the game, two things that struck me. I don't really believe that Cody's seen this coming, and there's no way you could have seen, you know, because Waterford been playing this way all the time. You know, he's not going to stand in front of the media and say, oh, you know, geez, I didn't see that one coming. You know, he's supposed to be the god and the genius, and so he knows everything that's happening, apparently.
Yeah.
But I would say that a little bit more than this year, more than any other year, that Kilkenny, you know, they can say their A and B games are very, very competitive, but you can't beat a game like that on the weekend. And Waterford had a couple of those high intensity games, you know, which you can't match, you know, really in an A versus B game. And I think the long layoff that Kilkenny had maybe didn't help them, and they were a little bit cold coming into it. But I don't think he can use that an excuse the next day, you know. If Waterford go at them as hard as they did and work as hard as they did and really just, you know, really drive at them and put their stamp on the game really, really early, it's very hard to kind of come out of that. And Kilkenny are no different. But lucky, I suppose, it just showed how true the champions that they are, that they kept battling away, stuck to the process all the time, and they came out with a draw, lucky enough, at the end.
Yeah, Damien, do you think Waterford need to change anything? Like, I mean, they changed it. They had that, like I was asking Dan, they had that element of surprise the last day. That element of surprise is gone now. So, like, I mean, do you think they need to maybe go back and do something different and make Kilkenny kind of scramble to catch up, or should they just go out and play the same?
I don't see him doing an awful lot different than last day. But I did notice one thing that none of us really spoke about in the second half. Waterford, as we say, they clumped up the middle, right? And there were times in the ball, we say they didn't play a sweeper system, but there was a little bit of a sweeper system, and we call it a one and a half sweeper system in the sense that the Borka still, when the ball hit the full forward line, the Borka was always there to give a hand, where because they had so many numbers in the middle, that someone could pick up, for example, TJ Reid, who was marking to Borka in the second half. That's what I found. So if I can see something maybe in the second half, you might see maybe a corner forward coming out playing what we call a one and a half role, as in half a corner forward and almost a wing forward, where de Borka will maybe sweep a little bit. Right, he might revert back to that, but I couldn't see them changing. Really, I think he'd be foolish to change, because the team played so well. Why would you change it? And you're just on there about Morris. Will he start the next day? It'll all depend on what tactic he goes with. If he's going to go with a couple of long balls to the edge of the box, yeah, Morris will be full forward. But if they're going for pace inside, he'll possibly stick with pretty much the same football. But I don't see him changing massively. I do be foolish if he did, because they nearly won us.
One thing that he could change, Conal, was the first half, where De Burka was trying to drop off Richie Hogan and cover his full back line, but like leaving Richie Hogan free, like it was incredible stuff, really. And you know, we talked on Monday about Cody's mistake of moving Richie Hogan. Why would you move somebody who's running amok and scoring four from play? But Richie Hogan playing at centre forward really has De Burka ruined, because De Burka cannot drop off him when he's centre forward.
Well, if they're going to go with the tactic of him trying to protect the full back line,
I
don't think they're going to go away from that, but they're going to pull someone in.
They'll have to bring someone back.
If Richie goes wandering too far, you know, someone has to pick him up and someone has to tag him coming through, because it can't be up to De Burka. He can't do both things. He can't be 50 yards out trying to mark him and then trying to protect the full back line at the same time. So they're obviously going to try and keep very tight tabs on him, because you leave him at 70 yards of space, you know, inside of the goal, and look what he does, you know.
It's not a good tactic to leave a former hurler of the year semi-marked, you know, for
crazy
a half
stuff.
A hurling. You know,
crazy stuff, really.
He gets four beautiful points. They were beautiful points, but Richie Hogan will knock over those points all day long if he's not being completely marked.
Yeah, it's in centre half forward, the nicest position on the field to play, when your centre back just wants to hold the centre back position. You know what I mean? It's fairy tale stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And to give Richie Hogan that job, Damien, is mad.
Yeah, but what's funny is, like you're facing DeFore like Richie Hogan does at county level, and you probably gets the world of room and he's running into space, and next thing he might play the same role at club levels, and he's probably the lad marking him, you know, 5 yards off and constantly up his backside. Do you know, so as I said, I've often loved playing centre forward myself. I've often done my best hurling myself at centre forward for the club. So I do. It's a role that you can gain massive results of and play extremely well, but a lot of it comes down to the ball that's been distributed and given out by the back line, maybe even the goalie. So, you know, it's all about vision, heads up hurling, and like as I said, there was one stage where Walford actually missed a goal. Owen Murphy got the ball and he gave it out to Paul Murphy, and Paul Murphy just looked up the field and he seen Richie Hogan down for Richie Hogan. He just planted the 2 feet and put about an 80-yard ball over the bar. So centre forward, a nice position today. It is. I would like to. Would you look good playing centre forward in hurling circles? So you would.
Yeah. Well, I'm not being marked. I'll make a fist at anything. That's okay. One player, Conal, I want to ask you about who infuriates me. I really like him. Is Kevin Moran. Like, he thinks he can score. That's Kevin Moran's problem. Like, I mean, he can get a few scores, right, when he's on the run and flick them over. But his long range shooting is not great. And, like, the one score that.
Well, if we didn't have Hawkeye the last day, he would have been a score.
But it was close. But there was someone inside him there. You know what I mean? He almost got a rush of blood to the head. He's a worker and a grafter. And sometimes you'd love to say to him, just give it to one of the lads that you know is going to put it over.
Yeah,
maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe I'm being hard on him.
I think he does a lot of his game has nearly changed in the last couple of years, where he does work really, really hard for the team. But I still think he's well able to score and score from distance. Albeit, when you think of him now this year, a lot of the time he's taking on his man and he's running solo and then he just clips it over. But I still wouldn't be leaving him to out around midfield, you know, half forward line loose and expecting him not to score, you know, because he's certainly well able to score. And you know, he gets through so much work that people, it's unseen, you know, and people think, oh, he's not really having a great year this year. But if you watch him when you're actually at the game, and the amount of work and up and down the field that he gets through is just incredible.
He's phenomenal. He's always under ball, you know, he's always there, himself and Brickwall, one of the two of them, you know, if there's a ball dropping, one of the two of them is on it. And it's I think Moran's crime is almost he gets on too much ball, you know, because if you get on that much ball, you're gonna do something wrong occasionally.
Yeah, and what he does is he brings so many other people into the play as well. If there's a schmozzle going on, it's 9 times out of 10 it's Brick Walsh or Moran nearly around there sorting things out, making sure that the ball is a gift to someone else. And you know, I don't think he can disallow for that. And I wouldn't say he's not a shooter, although he probably. Maybe sometimes he should maybe give it offload a little bit, because a lot of times when you're getting the ball and you're doing so much work, you're nearly so fatigued at that stage, you're better off nearly passing it off. But
yeah.
I certainly wouldn't tell Kevin Moran what to be doing, you know?
Yeah, I'm a natural critic, so look, I just can't help it. All right, we'll get predictions at the end of the show. Up next, we're going to have a look at the Galway Tipperary semi-final. Lads, we're expecting a classic between Galway and Tipperary, right? Conal, go to you first. There's no reason why this is not. We were taken by surprise last week with a classic. We're expecting one this week.
Yeah, I don't think we'd be disappointed. I think from what we've seen in the last couple of weeks, both teams are really going to go at it. I don't think it's going to be a huge defensive system in either really team, although like I think it's inevitable that they have some kind of a sweeper system, but both teams love to attack and they have great forwards, you know, that can score from anywhere and can get goals out of nothing. And you know, I think it is leading to be, you know, an absolute cracker. Hopefully it'll stand up to that.
Yeah, Tipperary are strong favourites for this now, and especially you see how Waterford bounce back. I think we should discount that Munster final. I really, really do. It was such a freaky one-off game where Waterford just crumbled and Tipperary looked great. Like, are Tipperary that far ahead of Galway? Like, I mean, the betting is something off the charts. Like, the really strong favourites in the bookies, it is Tipperary are 1-2 and Galway are 2-1 in a two-horse race.
Yeah, crazy.
Crazy betting, isn't it?
Especially if you consider the history that Galway and Tipperary have over the years. You know, every time they play, there's never a whole lot in it. And I think this kind of a game brings out the best in all the big so-called players that each county have. So it's leading into being an absolute cracker, but as soon as we build it up, it'll probably be a dare affair.
Don't say that, Conal.
Yeah, Damien, during the week we saw before the Tyrone game, Mayo, Aidan O'Shea talked about it, the way they were being written off. They were 13-8 to beat a Tyrone team, and they really used it as motivation. I'm sure Galway are looking at those bookies odds and doing the same thing.
Absolutely, of course it was. And the odds would motivate anyone. You know, there's, it's basically everyone is saying there's Tipperary will win, but you're saying you'd write off the Munster final for Tipperary. I know you write off the whole Munster Championship, being honest with you, because I know, but I feel that Tipperary won the handiest Munster Championship ever. Like, they beat, as I said this before, they beat a very, very poor Cork team that Wexford beat. They beat Limerick team.
They weren't impressive that day.
You know, and then they played Waterford, and Waterford were just so poor, in particular in the second half. So, like, the big question is to know how tested are Tipperary going into this All-Ireland semi-final, and maybe even knowing where they're at. They didn't, they didn't have any spectacular league campaign, and they've also blooded an awful lot of young players. So, like, slim odds to be that much like in Galway are after hitting for. You know, and Galway are after maybe putting a lot of stuff, putting their stall in place. So I'm expecting a really, really good game of hurling. I expect another epic. We're going to be spoiled now, in my opinion, like between last Sunday and the replay now between Kilkenny and Waterford, Tipperary and Galway, and then the All-Ireland final. We should get four great games of hurling. But no, I think the odds are ridiculous. I have to say, I'd give Galway every chance to win it, and why wouldn't they? You know, and like, I know I'm going to be very biased in these predictions, but why would Galway fear Tipperary? Like, their main forward is Shane McCannon, right? And we all know that, a nominee for Hurler of the Year for the last 2-3 seasons, I guess. But now he's going to be going in on Dottie Burke, who got man the match, and who's playing absolutely super stuff at fullback. So if Dottie can tie him up, then who did they go to for scores? So I just think it's ridiculous odds, yeah.
Well, I was wanting to ask Damien, is he sure that Dottie Burke will stay in at fullback? Because Shane O'Donnell and Shamey Callanan could not be two more different full forwards if you tried. So do you think they're just going to stick with that, or was that a specific plan for the Clare game?
No, I think he's going to be... I don't know the answer to this question or anything like this, but I think he'll pick up Shane McCannon. Yeah, simple as that. Big player versus big player, and see who comes out on top. So I could be wrong, but I expect him to pick up Seamus Cannon. Yeah.
Yeah. Through a process of elimination, Mannion won't be on him again, anyways. Or so I'd say Burke has a good chance of getting that job. Yeah, because Cannon obviously is such a, like, they couldn't handle him at all last year. And
3-9,
and maybe you saw how well Hart did as a sweeper, maybe against against Clare the last day. Maybe they might try and do something like that, or they might trust just that Dahi Burke played so well the last day he can tie Callan. But they have that option now, Conal, that, you know, maybe they could do something different if they wanted to.
I think from Tipperary's point of view, if I was Callan thinking that I'm going to be marking Dahi Burke, I'd fancy my chances.
Really?
I certainly wouldn't think that he's going to get on top of me, although he's big and strong, and he's, you know, he caught some serious ball the last day. You know, is he able to, you know, Callan, a lot of his game is moving out around, you know, and getting,
he has
a lot
both ways, doesn't he,
and a lot of loose ball, and yeah, albeit he can win his own ball, as we've seen before against Galway, but I wouldn't be too worried if I was Callan marking Burke, to be honest.
I don't think James Callanan should ever be too worried about marking anyone.
No, I understand that. I understand that.
But no, I agree with you. I wonder about Dahi Burke, because he did such a good job on Shane O'Donnell, but he did such a good job because he had Hart in front of him. So that was a new system for Galway, and we were praising the high heavens for how well it worked in the limited time they had to get it into place. So do they stick with that when they know they're probably playing against a Tipperary team who are one of the most conventional teams in the country, and kind of that's how they did for Waterford in the Munster final, which the Munster final we are discounting.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt Tipperary will play orthodox. Like, I mean, they're like Kilkenny. You pretty much know what you're going to get with Tipperary. It's just, can you stop them? That's kind of the question.
Yeah, I probably think Galway will probably set up something similar to what they did against Clare, and Hart will be very, very close to that full back line and very close to Callan Ferrin. You know, probably the thinking would be, you know, if you're not going to catch the ball, if you've been told, if you're not going to catch the ball, make sure he doesn't catch it and break it, so at least it'll give us a chance to pick up the breaks. But dangerous enough if you're around the full forward line as well.
That's the thing. And like, Damien, say for example, if they do Ringle to have Hart as the sweeper, immediately Tipperary will do a reshuffle and get Paddy Maher as their sweeper, and he's such a brilliant distributor of the ball. Like, that's nearly a mistake to give Paddy Maher a free roll on a half back line.
Yeah, well, I do reckon they will go with Aidan Hart as a sweeper.
Do you think so?
I think they will. It worked so well the last game. Like, I said it on the show that I thought Aidan Hart held well, so I did really well, actually. So as I keep saying, I don't know the answers to these questions, but I think they will. But if
you're saying that too much now.
Well, it's the truth, but I think if Tipperary were going with a sweeper, they'd probably put Brendan Maher. Probably the reverse impact maybe as a sweeper, but either way, it's going to be a really good game of hurling. It's going to be, but you're just going back there to Seamus Cannon. It all depends on how hard the Middle East and Galway work. Like if the players from out the field can get the ball into Seamus Cannon into space, obviously nothing's going to trouble any fullback. But that's where it goes. But I'd be hoping that we wouldn't be leaving Pádraig Maher as a sweeper, and I'd be hoping we'd be leaving Pádraig Maher free at any stage, because he's one of the most phenomenal defenders in the game. Like, I think in the last couple of years, he's in four county finals. He's won man of the match in three of them, and played centre back for two of them and full back for another. So, like, I definitely be hoping he's not going to be left as a sweeper, that's for certain.
Yeah, and he was wasted when he used to be a fullback. But that's something this year, to have Kennedy in the half-back line. Paddy's brother is at centre-back. You know, he's got another year under his belt. And you have Breen at midfield, who's a powerhouse. Brendan Maher's good. Suddenly those five players, they're big, strong, physical men. And Tipperary just looked like almost like a machine with them in there.
Yeah, well, I think as Damien says, you can nearly write off the Munster Championship, because they have looked so good and so impressive. But who have they been playing, you know? And I think if Galway bring the intensity they had against Clare, I'd be very, very surprised if Tipperary can live with it, because they haven't got that, you know, so far in this championship. And Galway are coming good at the right time. Their key players are starting to play well. And, you know, Everton's favouring, I would have said, nearly Galway to a degree, because, you know, okay, he was right in what he said. And, you know, they played Waterford, okay, in the Munster final, but Waterford kind of maybe fell apart. And everybody looks good then when things are going well. Scores are going in from everywhere. But again, it's going to come around to that middle again, where it's at the huge intensity. And, you know, Galway outfought Clare the last day, and I don't see anything else.
You want to get down to the bookies if you're that sure of a Galway win, because the bookies are disagreeing with you. I agree with Woolley on that. The Tipperary half-back line and the midfield is just phenomenal. He bring Bubbles back in, who missed the Munster final. He got the two McGraths, he got Callanan, Bubbles, Bonner. You just list off that Tipperary team, and I know they've had a few. Obviously, they lost to Galway last year, and they've had a couple of failures down through the years. But it's just, to me, it reads like a really frightening roll call, you know.
Yeah, no, it does. But can I just go back to something here? Is that a Galway hurler in the Leinster Championship, a Dublin hurler in the Leinster Championship, have both absolutely disgraced the Munster Championship? Who have Tipperary beaten after beating the cream of Cork, Limerick and Waterford in the Munster Championship? This is the magical Munster Championship now, lads, that we're talking about. This is the mystical, this is the championship like the Ulster Football Championship nobody could ever diss. You're basically saying three of the teams down in Munster are just forget about them.
Well, certainly Tipperary had the easier side of the draw. Like, look, they played, what, as Damien said it already, you know, a Cork team on the way down. Waterford team didn't really show up, and Limerick team probably in a little bit of transition. Okay, on paper it looked a very difficult draw, but if you really watch the games, you know, I think they kind of cruised through a lot of the games, really, to be fair.
Do sometimes you get a little bit annoyed with all the magic of the Munster Championship? Think it's overdone a little bit.
I get annoyed that they think that there's nothing else, only Munster hurling.
Go on.
But look, that's the way they want to think, and that's fine, and that, you know, really gives you a bit of motivation to say, look, there's other lads in the county.
They need to think like that, because there happens to be a team from Leinster who have a slight monopoly on the All Ireland Championship. So Munster counties have to talk about the Munster Championship as if it is the greatest championship in the world, because they don't really get a look in any other one most of the time.
What do you think, Damien, of this Munster Championship?
I'd agree with the lads. You know, sometimes I feel it's blown out of proportion. Like, let the teams that were knocked out with this year's championship, like there's only one of them after ending up this run through the route with the semi-final, and Waterford are there as well. But I don't see anything, especially this year. Look, we've got epic games out of the Munster Championship, Waterford Cork games. We've got Waterford Tipperary games over the years. They've been absolutely brilliant hurling. But this year was poor. Like, is there anyone going to argue that case that it wasn't poor? I'd like to see them, because they wouldn't have a leg to stand on. It was a poor championship, the Munster Championship. Simple as that.
Yeah, I do think that you have a good game in Munster, and it's blown out of all proportion, where Dublin could play Kilkenny, or Waterford, or Galway could play Dublin, or Galway could play Kilkenny, and it's a great game, but it's not on the same level, great game, than the magic that happens down in Turles.
Yeah, like, I think when I was growing up, obviously it's blown up. Munster hurling is the be all and end all, and everything happens down there. But when you actually go and you actually play against these lads, you're like, not as good as I've been hearing. Like, yeah. You know, so I think you have to take it on its merits. And this year, as Damien said, it has been a poor enough Munster championship.
As a man who grew up on a staple diet of Wexford-Leinster championship matches, I think the Leinster championship is grand, but I don't think it feels the need to blow its own horn quite as much. I think everyone accepts Kilkenny are kind of out on top, but they...
Yeah,
there's a lot of very good matches, and
Galway and Dublin have won Leinster titles in the last four years.
Oh, absolutely,
years, you know,
but like there is one very dominant team, whereas in Munster you have kind of this Cork and Tipperary rivalry that people talk about, and every county has a very proud tradition. Not that they don't in Leinster, but for some reason Leinster counties don't feel the need to bang on about it.
We're secure.
We're very secure in ourselves.
Here, Damien, you spoke about earlier on the show about the 3 week wait in between the All Ireland final and then the replay. Tipperary have 5 weeks of a wait since they won the Munster.
That's something to worry about, Colin, because they got caught last year against Galway, so they did the wait. And like I said this afternoon, the Munster Championship, it's now where Tipperary have to really pick up. And like they won the Munster Championship last year, they had waiting time, and they made an awful lot of mistakes against Galway last year. So it all depends on how they dealt with it this year, you know. And it'll be interesting just to see maybe on Sunday. Like, Kilkenny were a little bit raw the last day, you know, they were a little bit off the pace. They made a lot of stick errors, a lot of passes, a lot of little mistakes, you know, and some of the players didn't get to the pace again like they normally would. So it'll be just very interesting to see whether the Tip players will get to the pace of the game a little bit better than the Kilkenny players. But that is something to worry about, there's no doubt about it. And often you'd be wondering, is this an advantage winning your Munster Championship, you know, where you have that 4 or 5 week wait where you take water, lost the Munster Championship, then they got to play Wexford, you know, which brought them on a little bit, and then they got to a game, and which was an extra game going into the Kilkenny game. So there's always ifs or buts. Personally, I would always prefer to be winning stuff. I'd always try to, it's nice to win stuff along the way and win a Munster Championship going into a semi-final, but it's going to be interesting just to see how Tip have kept it together and whether they'll hit the ground running. But there's that 5 week, no matter what training you do, what tackling drills you do, shooting drills, all of them sorts of, it doesn't compare to Championship Hurling. And Galway was a player only was 3 weeks ago, so you'd be wondering how that will stand to him as well. But it is a worry, that's definitely a worry for them, Colin.
Yeah, and Conal, the thing about it is, like, the stats don't look good. Tipperary 2012, Limerick 13, Cork 14 were hammered in the All-Ireland semi-finals. Tipperary obviously last year lost, but weren't hammered. But the problem about it now is, who did they even get challenge games against? Because so many teams are out, you don't even have that option of getting challenge games. So you're almost 5 weeks, maybe two with the club, three back, and you're trying to get good intensity games in training, which is not always easy.
No, it's very difficult. Like, obviously we only found it once in the hurling, but when we were on a run with the footballers there for a while, winning Leinster's, and you're getting a break of maybe 5 or 6 weeks, you know, very, very hard to manage. Like, what do? You go back to the club maybe for a week, and no matter what anyone says, I think you always relax a little bit when you go back to the club, because the training isn't as intense. You're probably dealing with lads that know the championship isn't for another couple of months away, so you're really trying to do, you know, a hard session when it's not really a hard session, you know, compared to when you're probably with the county and you're playing A versus B games, trying to mix it up, you know. Lads are some lads don't want to get injured, other lads are dying to get on the team, so they're ready to cut you up, you know. So it's very hard to try and manage it right. But again, it's going to be very interesting to see what way Tipperary have dealt with it over the next, obviously on Sunday we'll find out.
Come back to Cork in the middle of the last decade for the last time a Munster champion won the All-Ireland, so it is an issue. And you have to wonder, you know, it isn't an issue for Kilkenny, is it just because Kilkenny are that much better, or is it because of these famous A versus B games?
Well, I certainly think if you ask a manager or a team, you know, you're coming into an All-Ireland semi-final, what would you prefer? Would you prefer 5 weeks off? Would you prefer playing game, you know, maybe every 2 weeks and winning these games and coming in with huge confidence? Because when you're coming into a game, you always question yourself, have I trained enough? You know, is my touch there? Is everything right? You know, it's 5 weeks is a long time to try and think back, you know, did I do everything right? Well, if you think back for a Galway player, like, it's only 2 weeks ago since we did really well, and, you know, things are going well, you know, after obviously a defeat against Kilkenny, but we're on the right road now and things seem to be going well. My fitness is there, I can't, you know, that's ticked, you know, my hurling is there, that's ticked. So you're kind of ticking a lot of boxes when you're playing a lot of games like that and winning.
Yeah, I saw a tweet from John Fogarty, Damien, and he said Tipperary have only conceded 2 goals in their last 6 championship matches. They were both 1 each in games against Limerick. Like, I mean, they don't play any sweepers, they don't play any defensive systems, they just have good kind of old fashioned man markers where you're responsible for one man, you know what your job is, you know. And there's a lot to be said for that, and there's a lot to be said about the point that you don't necessarily need extra men depending on what kind of man markers you have.
Yeah, and you have to remember as well, the Tipperary management team, you've got Michael Ryan, the manager, who is a formidable Tipperary cornerback, won All-Ireland. You've got John Madden, who's also there, who's now actually living in Portumna, so he is, right? He was also won an All-Ireland for Tipperary in the back, and then you have Declan Fanning also. So there's actually three, what we call, defensive-minded players.
Right.
So, and I remember Declan Fanning when he was hurling. I marked him a couple of times, and it was often, we'll say, up against him or whatever, but he was, I could always remember him telling, calling that back, to pull it back, to condense the space, and that's what's happening there. Lads are pulling back a little bit more, which is utilising the space up the other end of the field, which is getting the likes of the Bubbles, the McGraths, then you have Shamey Cannon, all these lads onto the ball, and then you have the unbelievable hard working of Bonner up there. But that, you have three defensive minded players in their management team, so you have, and they've also put two new players into the half-back line, as we know, and now Mickey Cal is also after going back in cornerback this year, where he was out of favour last year, so he was under Eamon O'Shea. So defensively, yeah, I'd say Michael Ryan has looked at it and he wanted to strengthen teams up and he wanted to change a couple of teams, and to only concede two goals in the championship, that's stats-wise, that's excellent.
That's interesting, Conal, that, you know, I didn't realise they had three natural defenders to be able to...
Three defenders that won All Ireland medals at Tipperary.
Yeah, so like the coaching their defenders get is as good as what's in the country, obviously.
Yeah, obviously, like, and they're no fools that, you know, to go man on man. There's obviously a reason for that they really trust the players that they have, that they believe that they don't need anyone there to help them. But I'm sure, as Damien says, like the hard work of Bomber Mar, naturally he will come back and help out the half back line and get forward. But I think the more space that you leave for the McGraths and the Callaghans inside, the better. And, you know, tactics, you don't need tactics when you give them lads the ball. They just do it themselves, you know, and I think their natural gift just takes over them.
Yeah,
they're spoiled. They are spoiled as well. They've got three defensive minded coaches, but they're spoiled with, you know, some really fantastic defenders. They're the Marr brothers, you know, Breen. These guys, they're born for, you know, there's none of them converted from forwards, there's none of them, you know, slotting into a position that doesn't suit them. They are all like custom made for where they play almost. It's perfect.
Yeah, just to finish up, lads, does Bubbles get straight back in? Damien, you'll say yes.
Yes, I say yes, yeah.
Conal?
Yeah, he does for me too, yeah.
Who's going to lose out for him? Just had to follow up.
I'm not sure.
It's McCormick, isn't it? McCormick.
He's there for ball winning, though. Like, he's there for a reason, and he's, you know, he has a function in the forward line. You know,
very hard, and I think a lot will have, you know, obviously been decided in the last couple of weeks and how training is going for certain fellas and how form wise. But I would definitely be putting Bubbles back in. You know, it was maybe a little red mist.
I'd say Niall O'Mara. I'd say Niall O'Mara will lose out.
Right, he was taken off the last day after 50 minutes.
Yeah, I just think it'd be a simple switch. Niall O'Mara and Bubbles will go back into the team. And Bubbles, I'm a massive fan of Bubbles, being honest with you. I love the way he strikes the ball. I think he's one of the best strikers of a splitter in the game. But Bubbles has to really put in a big performance. But I just have to say, now, lad, as a Galway man, I feel an awful lot of talk about Tipperary, right? And there's a lot of fantastic players in the Tipperary setup. But I want it to, you know, because this is a show that's been listened to an awful lot, I want people to know there's a lot of fantastic players as well in Galway and in Galway club hurling. So there isn't. And I don't think it'll be as much one sided as maybe that you're making out. There's lots of quality Galway forwards there that might cause them what you're calling the so-called six Tipperary backs. I think they'll cause them lots of problems, and I know they've only conceded two goals, but I think there's a couple of goals in the Galway forward line again, and I just want that to be known. There's a lot of fantastic and great club hurlers and great players in that Galway team at the moment as well.
We talked about Galway at the start. The reason we're focusing more on Tipperary is because we obviously haven't talked about them in 5 weeks, and the Munster final was a bit of a weird game, so, you know, we haven't had a proper chance to sit down and talk about them, Damien. But, like, you know, we take your point on board.
How about our favourite topic?
I'm only just putting on my Galway hat, sorry.
How about we mention his favourite topic? Where does Joe Canning play this week, you know, if they go up against?
I was actually trying to avoid that.
Well, I want to know.
I expect him to be centre forward on Maher.
Okay, thanks. We'll leave it at that because Willie doesn't like that topic.
No, that's interesting. On Maher, why? Okay,
I think he's a young player, and I feel Joe would be put into the, as we call it, number 11 position, where he'd be able to roam around, maybe a little bit like Richie Hogan. So that's right, Clem. That's right, playing for this game, still forward.
Fair enough. Can I ask a stupid question here, just to pick up on something you said about bubbles from a fellow who's never played hurling? You said he's a great striker of the ball, and you know the way golf swings are analysed and, you know, talked about, and you know the different swings different players have. Can you spot different swings that different hurlers have, or do you all swing pretty much similar and it's just the wrists that make you a better striker, or is it in the shoulders? Or Conal, I'll go to you first.
I think you'd know by watching, well, maybe obviously you don't, but watching Bubbles, that, you know, he is so wristy. Every shot he has, he's so, you know, the way he strikes the ball is just, it's just so sweet all the time. You know, you might see lads coming out of defence and hitting a shot and it only goes 20 or 30 yards, but you know, with certain players, you know that it's going 60 or 70 yards, and they're always left or right, it doesn't matter. You know, they have the eye in all the time, and you can really just tell.
And he doesn't have to plant his feet, he can kind of do it.
But it doesn't matter if he plants his feet. Yeah. He plants his feet or he's running, it's exactly the same outcome. You know, and look, they're the kind of top players that people go and pay their money in to kind of watch, you know. And it's the same with Joe, it's the same with Damien. He was playing, he was well able to do it as well. So look, I think that's what everyone really enjoys.
Thanks very much.
You're feeling left out there. I had to say something to you.
So Damien, it's Cyril Farrell wristy hurlers.
It's about the wrist and the speed of the wrist and the striking. And I guess you often see lads miss hitting balls, but all these top players, they're able to strike the ball as good off their left as good off their right, and it's the speed of the strike, but it's also the distance they're able to gain to them. And like, I've seen Bubbles just getting balls and he would actually just physically turn. Just like Shamie Cannon is saying, Noel McGrath, another lovely wristy hurler. Like, you're putting all these top, Joe Cannon, all these top class players, they're all able to just literally turn, swing, and it's the distance they're able to get in the strike with it, maybe a short swing, and that sort of stuff. So like, yeah, it's all in the wrist, but it's the speed of the strike and how far the ball is able to travel, and is the accuracy then, and all the lads have it.
All right, okay, we'll leave it there, lads. We'll be back for predictions in a second. All right, lads, we'll start with Kilkenny and Waterford. Kilkenny, we gave this a quick mention with Dan. Kilkenny are 2-7, Waterford 7-2. Like, I mean, the bookies haven't learned anything from the first day because they were similar enough. And the handicap, Kilkenny -5, 6-5, Waterford +5, 5-6, which I think is one of the greatest bets of all times. I know Kilkenny are good in replays. Conal, I'll go to you first. If you were to pick a bet there, what would you go for?
I think, look, all the history says that Kilkenny always win replays, and, you know, maybe you could say Kilkenny didn't play overly particularly well. There's certain big players, you know, maybe had kind of relatively quiet days. But on the other side, but then, you know, Waterford are one of those days where if they close their eyes and they hit the ball, it nearly was seen to be going over for them, and they worked so hard. So I think it's going to be very tight. I think if Waterford bring that same intensity, and they don't have it go back to that erratic shooting where they shoot from everywhere, I think they've a really, really great chance of beating them. But ultimately, I think that Kilkenny will probably edge it. I still will go with Kilkenny. I think that Cody will give them lads a good talking during the week. I think he'll say it wasn't acceptable, some of the shooting that they did from, you know, the half back line. You know, it's not acceptable to be shooting unless you're scoring. And I think there's a huge performance in some of them lads still, and I don't think they're going to keep. I think they're going to get more than one goal. I think Waterford were lucky to try and keep them out, and I know it was great work by them, but I think I'll go with Kilkenny by 5 or 6.
Okay, Damien.
Yeah, I know. My prediction is Kilkenny. I think Kilkenny will have learned an awful lot more from the last game. I feel the gap from winning the Leinster Championship did them no favours. I think that again, the last day against Waterford will bring them on leaps and bounds. I feel the likes of Joyce, the two Finley brothers, TJ Reid, Walter Walsh, all these guys that game will have benefited them a lot more. They'll put in bigger performances, bigger shifts. So I just think today, will Waterford be able to come up with the same kind of performance? It's all about performance as they did the last day. Like, they'd only two wides in the first half. Owen Murphy, we were saying, the Kilkenny goalkeeper matched the same amount of wides they had in the first half. And the big thing is, can the likes of Austin Gleeson, who was phenomenal the last day, who scored 5 points from play, will he be able to produce another performance like that? Cormac Mahoney, who scored 14 points the last day, will he be able to produce another performance like that? And if they can, they have a chance, but I just don't think, I feel they've missed the boat. I feel that Kilkenny will push on and win this. They'll be a little bit cuter, and as I said, I mentioned a couple of players there that need to put in a lot bigger performance than that, and I think Kilkenny will push on, and you don't get two chances at Kilkenny. Not many do. Conal had the experience of winning against them in the replay, but I think Kilkenny will go on to make the All-Ireland final.
Mikey?
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm going with the lads. There's no romance in this pod at all. I also think Kilkenny, just for similar to Damien, I just don't think the likes of Joyce and Mick Fennelly and TJ Reid can play as quiet again. If those three fire, I think it might matter how big a performance Waterford put in. I think Kilkenny are still that step above them at both of their peak.
All right, well, I'll stick with Waterford because I did go for them last week, and I was actually thinking about you with 5 minutes ago. Conal will take my opinion a bit more seriously now.
But right, I would say, just for record, I actually hope Waterford win. It'd be great for hurling in general. And it'd be great for them to get an All Ireland final. I think those players deserve it.
Yeah, no, I think we'll all agree on that. That's nothing against Kilkenny either. Next up is Tipperary, who are very, very mangily at 1-2. Not much value in Tipperary at all. Huge amount of value in Galway at 2-1. Tipperary -3 are 10-11, and Galway +3, another brilliant bet, are 5-6. You're getting more than even money with Galway with a start of 3 points, you know. So, Conal, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I think all the points we had were valid earlier on. I think the big thing would be, you know, how Tipperary have dealt with that break. If they can match the intensity that Galway are going to bring, because you know exactly what they're going to bring, I think. And ultimately, I wouldn't be a huge Tipperary fan, so I'm going to go with my Galway hat on here and say I really hope Galway win, and I hope they win by a couple of points to spare.
Nice one, Damien.
Yeah, I just
I don't know what to say.
Sorry, before you start, why does everyone hate Tipperary?
I didn't say I hate Tipperary.
Okay. Well, you don't
dislike them.
Yeah, but
supporters.
Why is that? Because that's there a lot.
Money missing.
That is there a lot that you hear.
There's an
Tipperary. There's an arrogance down there. Is there that just?
Well, I don't know. I know certain people say in my own club that, you know, they just think they're God's gift, and they think there's nothing else but hurling in Tipperary, and they come up here and they're up here for 30 years, and you know, they still think Tipperary is the best county in Ireland for hurling, and I just can't get my head around it. Maybe it's just that kind of circle of people that I know, but
myself and Ryan O'Dwyer have had a few rounds.
Is this Ryan O'Dwyer you're talking about?
No, it's not Ryan. He's a dog.
Alright, Damien, your prediction there.
I predict the Galway win, simple as that. I think there's another big performance in Galway, and I expect Galway to win on Sunday. But I have nothing against Tipperary people. My wife is from Tipperary, so she's a famous Tipperary camogie player. So I have nothing against Tipperary. I think the Tipperary people are the finest. So I don't know what Colin was saying there. Maybe he's issues with lads in his club.
No. I didn't say that.
I think there's a Scotland franchise up there in Tipperary.
We could be opening up a big can of worms here, not very fun. But no, I have no issues with the Tipperary people.
I thought you were going to say you could be opening up a garage in Tipperary.
Well, never know.
Mikey?
My parents lived for a time in Bansha. I have lots of friends in Tipperary, so I have no problem with them either, except for their arrogant hurling fans. But I do think they're going to win. I think they have a right to be arrogant this weekend. I think I just think they're just fantastic hurling team. I think we were more scientific about it earlier, so I'm just going to say they're going to win because they're the better team.
Okay, very, very simple. I'm going to go for Galway because I love an underdog, and I agree. Well, I'm... Like, if you're going on a 50-50 here, you might go for Tipperary, but Galway at 2-1 are just the greatest bet. I'm talking in betting terms, anyone that doesn't put money on Galway and you're doubling your money in a two horse race when Galway are a really, really, really good team, you'd want to be mad. Or Galway +3 at 5-6. So I'm all over either one of those. Haven't chosen yet. Right, lads, we'll leave it there. That's all we have time for this week. Thanks to Conal, thanks to Damien for giving us their insights. Thanks to Mikey, thanks to Dion, thanks to Conan, thanks to Evan for putting the show together. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at SportsShowGAA and subscribe to the GAA on iTunes. I got that right. We're really looking forward to these games at the weekend, so we'll see you on Monday for a review show. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop, and when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going, so.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's harder to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.